Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I chose for the confirmation text for today, for the sermon for today, our second reading, the one from Revelation chapter 21. You see, chapter 20 ends with John describing Judgment Day. The day when the book of life is opened and all are judged, either your name is written in the book of life or it isn't. It's really quite that simple. If it's not, John describes a lake of fire that awaits. In chapter 21, John now envisions a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. This recalls the account of creation from Genesis and the marvelous provision of our first parents. John envisions the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God. Then John sees the church as the invisible is made visible, as a bride adorned for her husband. The piling up of these three visions is complete: creation, nation, family. There we go. And now the voice reveals himself as God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And in this new heaven and new earth, as God is fully tabernacling with his people forever, no more temporary dwelling place for God. God is with us, and we will dwell with him. God is making all things new. The sorrows, frustrations, and strifes of this life will be no more. Those who have died in the faith will live, and those who have struggled with sin, and those who have sinned against them will be comforted as our battle is over, for it is done. You can write it down and put it in your book. Give the spring of water of life without payment, he will. You see, this time tribulation we've experienced is compared to being thirsty and parched and dry. Water is frequently a biblical symbol, a symbol of salvation. Think of the flood, the Red Sea, or today, as you are fulfilling what your parents had done for you when you were infants. They brought you to a font and had you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there you were brought into God's family, adopted, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, your sins washed away, eternal life given to you. And your parents said, "We're not raising heathens." Now, okay, they put it a little differently, but it's much nicer. But that's basically what they're saying. We're going to raise them up in the faith, and they're not going to be heathens who walk away from the faith. And today, you're confessing that what your parents said is true. You're confessing what the church confessed with them, if it was a public baptism, is true. That you desire God's gifts. That you desire, by the grace of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the ability to come regularly and receive those gifts from God. For that is where only peace is found. As you know already, just in your young years, life is chaotic. For Pete's sake, I called Dylan by 13, 15, 20 names this year, right? Did I ever get it right, Dylan? Just today. I don't know what it was. I would look at him and I would think of different kids that I've confirmed and I would call them by that name. I felt awful. Felt awful every time because poor Dylan would put up with it. He'd say, "Hey, Pastor, you've known me my entire life. Would you at least get my name right?" He put up with it. That's because you're a good guy. You're patient with me, and I appreciate that. And so the text lays before us today, well, a time when in this life where we face tears and weeping, yet some still feel that once you become a true believer, you no longer have to face those. That's a theology of glory, and it's horrid. It's a delusion. It's a lie from the very pits of hell. And this year, you are the first confirmands to go through Lutheranism 103. You got to go through an apologetics. not just the catechism, but to be taught to defend your faith to those who would try to attack it, to those who would try to change it, to those who would try to cause you to doubt the gift that God provides. That's why we spent so much time talking about the resurrection, because that's one of those things that gets attacked the most. But you see, it does not seem logical that something so frequently mentioned in God's Word would all of a sudden stop being a concern as long as we live in this fallen earth, right? That suffering and pain and sorrow and anguish and disease and death even. So in our text today, we are assured that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes when we get to the new heaven and a new earth. So let us look at our texts as we rejoice that today these young people are confessing their faith. So we have Victoria, and we have Georgia, and Dylan. I got it right again. I should probably say it 1,000 times a day, just in repentance. Today is a day for tears, but they're tears of joy, not tears of sorrow. That's on me. I've said this before, but Confirmation Day is, for me, while exciting for the kids who are getting confirmed, depressing. Because I can go through the hallway and look at the photos of those who have gone before them, who have confessed what you're about to confess, and who have just walked away. Not a word. Not a care. And it breaks my heart. But not for you today. Today is joy. Today is happy. You have suffered through a year with me. You have learned that worshiping cows is utterly ridiculous. You know that the Proto-Evangelion is Genesis 3:15. That is the very first telling of the gospel in the entire Bible. You have been taught a lot of theology that most people don't get until college or if they're in a Lutheran high school in advanced classes. And I'm sorry it had to be so, well, mind-spinning at times. But you need to know this stuff because the world does not like the truth. I must warn you, though, that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh desire that you abandon this truth. You see, because of the fall into sin, our loving God sheds tears. I don't think we often think about it, that God cries, right? But God cries. At the time of Noah, in Genesis 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intention of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. We talked about that just a couple of weeks back. Does God cry any other places? Yeah, of course. When Jesus is standing at the tomb of Lazarus, his good friend who had died, even though he's about to raise him from the dead, shortest passage in all the Bible, Jesus wept. All right? And then as he's coming in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the Lord wept over Jerusalem that just would not listen to the voice of God. He said, and when he drew near to the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. I heard a pastor last week state, he stated something I thought was kind of interesting to think about. He said, sin is death veiled, death hidden. We don't think of it as death. And death is sin revealed. The wages of sin is death. It's kind of interesting to think of it that way. Our sins are simply hiding our death. And our death will reveal to all that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so we know all too well that due to sin and its wages, death and despair will cause us to shed tears as well. Don't try to be macho. Don't say, guys, don't cry. Right? There's no crying in baseball. Like there's not. If Jesus wept, I think it's okay for us to do it as well. Because he's true man and true God. We cry too, from the moment that we are born through the various trials and frustrations of living down to the final agony of death, tears will flow from our eyes. In 2 Kings chapter 20, godly King Hezekiah cried bitterly as he prayed for healing of his disease and prolonged life. God saw those tears and healed him and extended his life by another 15 years. King David cries out in Psalm 56. He was complaining, praying, my enemies trample me all day long, for many attack me proudly. And he spoke some very strange sounding words to the Lord. You have kept count of my tossings and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? That's last verse, verse 8. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Every tear, every heart, sorrow, every struggle that you have, the Lord is well versed in and well aware of. Our tears recorded in God's book. Our tears in God's bottle. I'll bet you never heard of tears in a bottle, except maybe if you were reading Harry Potter and Harry goes and gets them from Snipe, right? Throws them in there. How would you like to collect your tears? Oddly enough, this was actually a practice. It's called a lacrimatory. It's a lovely word. Don't ask a dyslexic to pronounce. But it was what would happen is when they would place somebody in a tomb, family members would come into the tomb, they would collect their tears in this little thin bottle and leave the bottle next to the loved one who had died. You see, we have in our text before us God's tears and our tears. And those are overwhelming at times. To think of God crying is overwhelming to think about for me, but I know my own grief, my own sorrow, my own struggles, along with the confessions that are right there in the scriptures. These people in the Bible, they had the same kind of issues and struggles and battles every day. They wept, they cried, they lamented. And yet, they also had joy, for they had a peace that passed all understanding. Today, many tears are shed because of our self-centeredness. And yet today, you are doing the least self-centered thing possible. Besides your marriage vows or bringing your children to be baptized and instructed in the faith, what you are confessing today is the least self-centered thing you can do. This is where the whole train of... Train your child in the way they should go fits in. So their faith is not something that is only formed at church or Sunday school confirmation classes, but at home, so that that faith is living and active, not hidden and rejecting of God's word. So rejoice today. Your sorrows will not last forever. It may feel like it when you're in the midst of them, and high school's a-coming. And there'll be plenty. But there will be a time when there are no more tears. Our text promises us he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. I can't think of anything that sounds better. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into the world to do something about our tears. He preached, blessed are those who mourn, and yet he takes our mourning away, for they shall be comforted. Our comfort now is the joy of the resurrection. You've heard me say this a lot. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Do you see, this gets us comfort. When the law of God drives us sinners to the tears of despair, the beautiful gospel comes and says, your sins are forgiven. Life in it eternal is yours. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. It's yours. Our tears are wiped away more materially by the word of God and his gifts as we receive the forgiveness of these sins. Our tears are wiped away momentarily in the waters of baptism, where the Lord joins us to his cross, where he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he bears all our sins and their old sinful nature is put to death, and we know only tears of death are now given life through the forgiveness of our sins. Our tears are wiped away momentarily when we come to the Lord's table, as we come and partake of the Lord's very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. What did the catechism teach you? Right? These words, given and shed for you. Right? They give you exactly what they say. Right? They show us that in the sacrament, our sins, life, and salvation is given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. You learned it by heart. No one can take that from you. You see? And so you'll come to the table today for the first time, and you'll receive a foretaste of the feast that comes, and your sensories are going to say, well, this didn't taste that different. You see, it's not about the taste. It's not about examining what you're receiving. It's about the word. And if Jesus is God, and he says, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood, then I can guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, under that bread and that wine is the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And that you can never out-sin God's grace, but I please don't try. But it is always there for you. Your pastors will provide it. If you can't come, we'll provide it individually at a different time. Just call us, email us, text us, let us know. If something happens, you need it, we'll be there. But we're not psychic. We can't follow everybody, even if they're on Instagram. Right? And so I rejoice today. You guys got your memory work done as a group quicker than any group I've ever had, other than individual students. You cost me a lot of pizza money this year. Because I give the kids pizza when they have perfect attendance for church and Sunday school each week. We had to go to once a month because they were going to bankrupt me. And I promise you, if you want to feed them, apparently Pizza Ranch is the place to go. Because every other pizza we bought this year, there was leftovers. But Pizza Ranch had nothing left over. And it was fun. I enjoyed hearing your questions when you would open your mouth. I wish that would have happened a whole lot more. And I enjoyed being able to share with you the grace of God and the good news of your salvation. Nothing can take that away from you. You see, every tear will be wiped away, because the new heaven and a new earth, there will be no sin. God's tears were shed for us. Our tears are shed because of us. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns, those will all be wiped away. Every tear, because his work of salvation is finished. St. John put it well. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who has conquered will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. May you not just today confess that you are God's child, but every single day. This is a prayer for all of us, but today specifically for you. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.